Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
No, I don't agree with him on that. No, I think we're doing a great job in testing. I don't agree. If he said that, I don't agree with him.
All right, so that's the president talking about Dr. Fauci and what he has to say. There's always so much speculation about the second wave and what does that mean and when do we reopen. And specifically there, it is about the waves and when it happens and will it be bad in the winter. And people, we don't know. Even our brightest scientists, doctors, and epidemiologist and virologist cannot be sure on the answer. They can look at data and trends and watch and make educated guesses, but it's not 100%. There's a lot of casts being thrown out there, and we'll see what anyone catches. I'm hoping for all of us, as we're in the same boat, that it turns out the best possible scenario that it can turn out to be, that we stamp out this bad boy, get a vaccine, help each other through this, and to get out on the other side. Kate Delaney here at the helm of this ship as we navigate through those choppy waters that I just described. You want some good news? I'm going to give you the numbers, of course, because the numbers are still escalating. California had one of their worst 24 hours. In fact, many people are escaping from California to net in parts of Arizona, including Sedona, just to get away from what they feel is an area that's a lot hotter when it comes to the coronavirus. So when we, you know, we look at the death toll in LA County, it's close to 800 now at this point. And I'm going to give you, like I said, the overall totals in the U.S. in a minute or two here. But the good news, as I said, if you want some good news, and it is good news, is more help is on the way in the form of money, because economics is killing so many and sending mixed messages. Because what do you do when you need to survive? What do you do when you need to feed mouths and you wait for hours and hours to get food for the first time, put into your car, and then you're told, oh, you just missed it, and you come back the next day and then the next day? And what is happening? Well, the farmers are dumping unused food and needy families are going hungry, although it looks like that is being fixed. Even the government is stepping in now to fix it, but there were some wonderful people who stepped up to have food delivered and help the farmers at the same time. All right, speaking of help, the House approved the $484 billion aid for hospitals, small businesses, testing. So this legislation is there, and that's a very, very good thing. The House overwhelmingly passed a spending package, because we look at this unemployment crisis getting deeper and deeper. The legislation approved 388-5 would specifically restart small business loan programs that were swamped by demand and allocate more money for healthcare providers, virus testing. The vote was pretty historic. A lot of lawmakers wore masks on the House floor, some even speaking through face coverings as they delivered their remarks. It seems that our politicians, I believe, should be able to work remotely. They're doing it in other areas. I don't understand why we can't do that, just to add more insult to injury. And it would be the best thing ever if we could help the farmers with their riddle and then help the families as well, and that, and people who are smarter than I am when it comes to routes and moving trucks and moving food have jumped in and they're doing that. And that's a beautiful thing, because nothing like seeing food just get dumped and wasted. Honestly, it just gets you right in the gut. just right in the gut when you see that happening. In Georgia, Utah, and Tennessee, here's what we see happening. They're among the states that are moving pretty fast to jumpstart the economies. The plan is to proceed without getting the full approval of medical pros and emergency response officials. You heard what the president had to say about Fauci's remarks. And of course, we know that there's lots of pressure to open. There's lots and lots and lots of pressure to say, you know, we're through the worst of times. We can get through this and move from there. And the answer to that is, of course, we know that you got to take matters into your own hands. And that's the way it is. If you're waiting for someone to save you, I don't think it's going to happen. You have to be able to save yourself. So key in what is happening here. If you cannot do that, then how do you, you know, what ropes are going to be thrown out and how do we proceed from there? And that's the question that people are asking themselves. What do we do? How do I feed my family? How do we get through this? And the answer is by being strong and helping each other get through it, because that's the only way. And that's why this is being said over and over and over and over and over again, probably to the point of ad nauseum, that we are in this together. That's what Fauci's constantly reminding people about, staying at home. So the disagreement comes in lots of different areas, I would say, just relative to more when we're going to see a test and all of that sort of stuff. And, of course, Fauci is the top infectious disease expert. And Fauci said we absolutely need to significantly ramp up not only the number of tests, but the capacity to actually perform them. And that's the key thing, right? And he said, I'm not overly confident right now that we have what it takes to do that. And the president said, I don't agree with him on that. No, I think we're doing a great job on testing. And, you know, it's that back and forth with the people that are in the green room, that are there for the daily briefings. That's where most of all of this comes from. Again, the weighing the odds of when do we open, how soon is too soon, what kind of drugs are happening, can you get reinfected? I mean, there's just so many questions. And there are two different plans for reopening that say the United States will be able to perform millions of tests each week before the restrictions can be lifted, and that's considerable. So the tests are critical, and it's critical to know if you've had it, because you can help other people, for goodness sake, if you know that you've had it. But you can only, you felt bad, you could have had a bad case of the flu, but everybody was talking about COVID-19. Did you find yourself in a situation you didn't think where you were going to be, and they weren't practicing the people around you social distancing? Like somebody asked me the other day, one of the emails, does this really, really work? Well, I'm not a medical professional, but I know we've talked to them on the show, and I know they say the same thing over and over again. Yes, but you have to do it in mass. And the more people that do it, the better. All right, stay with us. It's all about the numbers, and oh, we got some big numbers for you, sadly.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-Step Guide to Immunity for Life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity. In pursuing my dreams, I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
We can count. So let's talk about numbers. Coronavirus deaths in the U.S., 50,363. These are the most recent numbers. Recovered, 82,112. Confirmed cases, 889,999. I tell you the numbers so you know that this is a very, very big number. Don't take it lightly. It is different depending on where you live. I would give you that. But of course, we know New York and New Jersey and Connecticut, it's very rough there. And there are other states that haven't been hit as hard. But that's what Dr. Anthony Fauci and others are saying. Just wait, because this thing rolls through in different areas. And why? Because you have people traveling from all over. And it was bound to happen, but I just didn't think we'd have a version quite this big. And the symptoms and the reaction your body has to this virus, it's different for every single person. They're talking about blood clots now and strokes that have affected even young people, and that is incredibly sad. You want to know the good part? Besides money that's on the way for small businesses, and hopefully if you need it, you can get it, and stimulus checks. The other good thing is that neighbor after neighbor after neighbor is doing something to uplift the people who have gotten it badly, have been hit really hard by it, in other words. And I think that is wonderful to see, because you're looking on boards, next door neighbors, you're hearing from people on their apps, etc. who really needs help, who needs what, and then scrambling and just doing it and not looking for credit, don't have your hand out, any of those kinds of things. All right, I am famous for saying there's numbers in everything. I'm going to repeat it now for the third time in the show. Joe Burrow, do you know who he is? Former quarterback of LSU, won the Heisman, now number one in the draft. And where does he go? To the Cincinnati Bengals. We used to have a nickname for the Bengals, Bungles. I'm allowed to. Why? Because I went to school in Ohio. By the way, Starbucks is extending their free coffee giveaway to the first responders, healthcare workers that are dealing with the coronavirus. They're saying through May 31st, any customer who identifies themselves as a first responder or frontline worker supporting the healthcare industry gets a free tall brewed coffee, either hot or iced. That's a good thing. Think about it. Police officers, firefighters, paramedics, doctors, nurses, hospital, and medical staff and researchers. Yay! That's a very, very good thing, I think. And the fact that they're doing that all the way through. And, of course, they're talking about reopening as many stores as they can with modified operations beginning May 4th. Seems like everywhere I go, there's a Starbucks on every corner. And a lot of them are actually near each other. All right, one puppy who stole our hearts officially adopted Guinness. So, Eric, the technical maestro for this show, I'm wondering, how come you don't have a dog? You seem like a dog guy to me.
I grew up a dog guy, but then I got my first cats, and now I'm both, but I have a cat now, so.
You have a cat, and what's the cat's name?
Belle, like from Beauty and the Beast.
Belle. How old is Belle?
She's, I think, 5 now, or going to be 5. Yeah, she's going to be 5 this summer, I believe.
Is Belle a heavy plate? Is Belle a princess?
She's kind of heavy. She's a little bit on the heavier side. No, she, she's a priss. She acts like a princess.
I love that you have a princess cat that you have to take care of. That's perfect. How about that? So maybe some of you have princess cats, or perhaps you have dogs like mine. He's just a bulldozer. He is all male. Just smashes into you, runs out after the squirrels and the rabbits. And once we fostered this dog, we knew there was no way we were giving him back. And he was sad. Even the couple of times we took him in the car, I think he was worried we were taking him. So you may be experiencing the same thing that Eric is with his princess cat, or me with my bulldozer dog. I hope you have somebody to hug, or a pet to make you feel good. What I love is a lot of people are fostering animals. So a lot of the clinics, the ASPCA, for example, because you can't have people there all the time. It's great because people have come in and they have fostered these animals, and it's great. So you have that human-animal bond, and all that stress and anxiety can, I think, does get lifted by it. That interaction is great. And so for many people, it's a foster situation, which means it's temporary. And then they'll find homes for the dogs or the cats or, you know, whatever. And it's a win-win situation during COVID-19, this pandemic. It's an incredible increase of animals in foster. And bravo to the people who are doing it. I never knew much about it until we lost our beloved golden retriever, and then tapped into the whole foster idea to help out a great organization that fosters golden retrievers. So something to think about. Something else to think about numbers wise, which, by the way, it's in the thousands for fosters in every area. They couldn't even give me one solid number because it's so different in every single place. But a lot in big cities, most of the pets that were up for being fostered, almost all of them have been fostered. All right, this is a number I hate to see. I'm not a big fan of tornadoes. To look at pictures of them or video of them when they've passed over, that's fine, and they haven't done any damage or killed any people. But tornadoes possible again for the Deep South. A day after that severe storm killed six people. So here we go again. Mother Nature. If you are in a tornado alley, hopefully you have some kind of a plan and you know what to do when you see these tornadoes. Because my goodness, you see some of these funnels. Whoa, it scares the bejesus out of me, I'm telling you. The one that smashed down Wednesday evening in southern Oklahoma, killed two people, injured a number of other people. It was huge. I mean, it looked like a mushroom cloud, and it was 10 times the size of any mushroom cloud I've ever seen. And then in Polk County, Texas, a tornado produced a strong, what they call supercell thunderstorm that killed three people, injured 20 to 30 others. So much so they had a disaster declaration issued after the county was hit like that. And they had damages to commercial structures and public infrastructure. So you get it. It was bad. And so these storms, that's what happens. They just kick in. A supercell is a thunderstorm that can last for hours, and it has a high tendency to produce severe weather. So damaging winds, large hail, weak or violent tornadoes. We had that back in October where I live, and it was unbelievable the damage that occurred, and it was exactly that, one of those super cells. So, of course, there's power outages. Oof, always have something ready, right? It's not a lecture, it's just a suggestion, because I've been there. Wait, where's that candle? Do I have batteries in that flashlight? So, Mississippi, 51,716 outages reported. In Louisiana, slammed as well, over 36,000 on Thursday. And, of course, it's the damage afterwards that you look at that you just shake your head and say, oh, man, that just missed us. It just missed us because too many people got just completely smashed by that. So something to watch out for. This was a crazy story about a 100-year-old World War II veteran who died of COVID-19. That's a life well lived, though, to get to 100. His twin brother died 100 years earlier in the flu pandemic. What are the odds of that? So Philip Kahn, the oldest veteran in Nassau County, New York, according to his family, had been fearful of another pandemic happening in his lifetime. That's what his grandson was saying. And he said he would have conversations and he would say, history repeats itself. Kahn and his twin brother Samuel were born December 5th, 1919. His brother died weeks later. How about that? And, of course, the 1918 influenza pandemic caused by a virus previously known as the Spanish flu killed an estimated 50 million people. My great-grandmother was killed in that pandemic, too, in Philadelphia. All right, coming up, some page-turners and the people who have written them. I have a thirst for books. I don't know about you. Some great storytellers coming up.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
I didn't like the fact that he's leaving certain things. I want the states to open more than he does, much more than he does. But I didn't like to see spas at this early stage, nor did the doctors. Is that a correct statement, Deborah?
President Trump at the White House Daily Coronavirus Briefing asked about Georgia Governor Republican Brian Kemp, who decides to open spas and tattoo parlors in addition to hair salons and barber shops, as some restaurants reopening slowly across the state of Georgia.
I didn't like to see spas opening, frankly. I didn't like to see a lot of things happening, and I wasn't happy with it. And I wasn't happy with Brian Kemp. I wasn't at all happy because, and I could have done something about it if I wanted to, but I'm saying let the governors do it. But I wasn't happy with Brian Kemp. Spas, beauty parlors, tattoo parlors, no.
And you're listening to USA Radio News. To the economy now, while most businesses have been hit extremely hard by the coronavirus pandemic, one sector reporting record sales. USA Radio's John Clemens reports.
It's consumer staples that reports a 22% increase since March 23rd as shoppers began stocking up on groceries, cleaning supplies, and, of course, paper products like bathroom tissue. Kimberly Clark of the Irving, Texas-based corporation reports net sales were $5 billion, led by a 13% jump in tissue paper sales. Kimberly Clark's first quarter operating profit went on a tear of $904 million, compared with a year earlier of $655 million. I'm John Clemens.
And taking a look now at your money on Wall Street, the Dow gaining 39 points, the Nasdaq down less than a point, the S&P 500 down a point and a half. This is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Together? Are you kidding me? We would shut down my favorite watering hole if we were sitting there together and talking about this. I'm so excited about our next guest. He's in our author's corner. David Brosbell joins us, and he's written a book called The Games Master, Rise of the Black Knights. Just take a second and let your mind run wild. What is this about? Well, battle strategy, magic, fantastical creatures, romance, and action, and all kinds of things. So, David, thank you so much for popping on.
I'm really excited to be here. Thanks, Kate.
Let's talk about the book. So the premise of this novel, tell me more about the novel. If, in fact, we met and we were sitting here talking and I asked you, hey, what's the book about? What's the premise of the book?
Yeah, you know, I think comparatively towards maybe other medieval fantasies, you know, one of my objectives in the novel was to kind of make it, in today's English, very easy to understand. The characters themselves, didn't make them complicated from, you know, naming perspective. So, you know, at the very beginning, I also wanted to make this a novel that wasn't very, very specific to the medieval type category, where you kind of had to be focused in really be jammed into that zone. So this is more a broad novel that basically suits everybody. I think it's got a broad audience. The novel itself is really about a couple characters, and there's two basically kingdoms. One that's been dominant for a very long time, and we'll call them the quasi kind of good, the Silver Allegiance. And then there's the Dark Realm that's being built up. And basically the two superpowers have pushed their ways as far from each other's borders as they can, but the inevitable war is coming. And it is, and you have Kruno and his, who's the main character, and a couple other, Ivan and Christian, that are kind of part of this novel, and they start off. They are caught in between this war. They know the war is coming. They don't want anything to do with it, but inevitably they're going to be pulled into it. So it's a novel that has a lot of action. I try to make it as realistic as possible, although it is fantasy, so it does have magic, as you alluded to. It has pretty incredible creatures. But I also wanted to make sure that this wasn't, you know, one person being able to take down 100 people, that it was something that that although it has fantasy elements, that there's a sense of reality attached to it as well.
I like that. So it's a good mix. When you dive into this, that's exactly what you'll see. It's truly a novel. There is a very good story with this. And, of course, my favorite part is you have a queen in this. You have a strong female warrior. Woohoo! And I know your wife would agree with me probably on that. Tell us about the queen.
Yeah, so, I've always been drawn to strong females in general. So there is an entire race, a female race, and they're called the Sand Sorceress. And they have ability to do a lot of magical things. They can break into sand. They can manipulate gravity, time, space. But really they're tough. And, they also happen to be incredibly beautiful. Why not? That makes sense. The queen is Kira has her name, and it's funny that you bring up my wife, because she is now, the name on my phone is Kira Queen. She's taken on her name because she believes I wrote the character for her. But I agree with you, probably my favorite character group in the entire novel. They come in around the second and third chapter, but become very important, not just for this novel, but for the balance of the trilogy.
Yeah, and that's the other part of this. So there is going to be a trilogy, and you've got that cooking. This is obviously the game's master, Rise of the Black Knights, and you've told us a lot about what the book is about, what the novel's about. Writing it, what was that like for you? Because this is obviously a passion. It's not what you do for a living, but it is in a way, because it's what I call the awesome side hustle, when you have a passion project that you can focus on, because you've always been interested in this, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, Kate, I've been blessed with a very colorful life, and I've been able to enjoy it. Well, many, many aspects have been wonderful. This is a part, too, that I just relish. But I get an opportunity to sit down for 2 to 4 hours, whether I'm on an airplane. As soon as I'm allowed to bring out my laptop, I'm on it, and all of a sudden I'm landing 6 or 7 hours later, and I can't believe the plane has, that much time has gone by. I love it. Now, of course, you know, the life has kids, and it has jobs, and all that kind of stuff, so I can't dedicate 6, 7 hours a day to it. So it's been over the past decade that I wrote this novel, and I've just thoroughly enjoyed kind of every aspect of it. Now I'm 300 plus pages into the second novel, which will be the sequel. And this whole thing started even before a decade ago, where I began to write the prequel. Now, this wasn't done by some incredible design. It's just I started writing and I really enjoyed it, and just started dabbling in different periods of time through the characters, and fell in love with the novel Rise of the Black Knights, which chronologically is the second novel. And built that whole novel, and then jumped forward. So about 60% complete on the novel to come.
All right, so I can imagine what those flights would be like, where you're off in a different land and then you land, so that's a terrific way to use the time. That's the perfect place to write. A lot of writers do that. We're speaking with David Brosbell, and again, his book is The Games Master, Rise of the Black Knights. You can pick it up on Amazon, wherever great books are sold, of course, Kindle, etc. You can get a Kindle version of that as well. When you... Well, you tell people about the book and they read the book, what do you hope that they take away from reading this book?
You know, I mean, number one is, well, I think the most exciting thing in the world is when people start talking about the characters, the kingdoms, the cities, the stories. It's because it gains life. Like, these characters, this world that I've built has now all of a sudden become so much more real. And from their perspective, of course, I want entertainment. That's probably the most important thing, but also to kind of invigorate and inflame passion with other writers. I mean, probably in any kind of creative outlet, but certainly a direct correlation to writing. I don't do this for a living. It's very different from what I do, but I think of other people, and I've heard this many times, you know, I've been inspired now to write a short story or to write articles or possibly write novels as well. So if I can do, if I can add some inspiration to people to continue the creative development, that would be one of my primary goals.
And it's interesting because you said that you've had the pleasure of traveling worldwide, meeting all kinds of people. Do any of, because you're around so many different kinds of people, do some of their characteristics bleed into the characters?
Absolutely. You know, and it's people, and believe it or not, inspiration for, I'll just mention a couple. So I talked about the Sand Sorceress, some of my favorite characters. You know, even that comes, the inspiration from it comes from two music videos. It goes back a long time ago. So there's, Madonna, there's a Frozen video. And if you ever watch that and then read the book, you'll see where some of the characteristics have come from the Sand Sorceress. But, and even names himself. So Ivan, which I think is a really strong name, and he is kind of Kruno's sidekick from the north, a very large, well-built man, great personality, a little bit more strike first, act questions later. You know, it's probably his biggest flaw. But my father's name is Ivan. Now, he also is convinced that the character was built off him. Not necessarily. He doesn't exactly the same stature as he does, but yeah, certainly influence from other people. I grab characteristics. You know, Kruno's the main character. is actually a very serious guy. People follow him. He's incredibly well skilled, and he's got a shield on his arm, which can morph to his will. So he has the ability to it kind of fits over his arm and over his fist, but it can change and morph when he needs to. So, you know, that's those kind of unique fantasy elements were just created in my mind as I'm walking down the street or I'm, taking any time by myself, taking a bike ride. These kind of things come to me. But certainly traveling the world also has helped with the kind of the geographical displays. You know, I've done a lot of Europe, and that's really helped me to build certain action scenes and battles. And, you know, actually, just on one other side note, on the novel to come, one of the biggest battles is I, of course, changed the city name, but it's based on Quebec City, which is a medieval city or as close as you can. It's about 400 years old in Quebec, in Canada.
Wow, and so people, I think you get the sense of that when you read this, and you have to pick this up, because really, it's for all ages. It's a very broad audience that could get involved in this. There's no question about that. I think that's the thing that really drew me to it, that I lived in Spain, and I felt like, wow, I was living in history. And this book is like you are living in medieval times, along with the fantasy, which is so cool that you were able to meld them so well. Well, congratulations on the book and the books to come. The Games Master, Rise of the Black Knights, David Brosbell, thank you so much. You can look it up and pick it up, please. Thanks, David.
Thanks, Kate.
Thank you.
crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea builds the red corpuscles in our blood, which bring oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves, and cancer dies in oxygen. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than 2 decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Author's Corner, I'm joined by Steve Langford. He was a pastor for 50 years. Can you imagine that? And boy, does he have a lot of knowledge on the subject that we're going to talk about, his book. And his book is called A God-Shaped World, Exploring Jesus' Teachings About the Kingdom of God and the Implications, and this is important, for the church today. And again, we had an incredible conversation off the air about this. So let's jump to it. First of all, Steve, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, it's a gift and a privilege to do so. Thank you for this gift, Kate.
Oh, thank you for saying that. In the book, I want to get to the heart of it, because you talk about 4 central characteristics of the kingdom of God and how important these are and how it's at odds with our human nature, our basic human nature. Explain that to all the people listening across the country.
Certainly. This book is based upon the Gospel of Luke, the life and teachings of Jesus, ministry of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And in the Gospel of Luke, I identify 4 central characteristics to his ministry and to his message about the kingdom of God. The first of those characteristics is that every person without exception is viewed and valued, accepted and embraced as a beloved child of God. The second is that relationships are based upon grace and forgiveness. The third is that power in the kingdom is used to serve the other. And the fourth is that material wealth as a form of power is used on behalf of others, particularly the powerless, the poor, the marginalized. Now, those four characteristics just go against the grain of our basic human nature. We naturally live in divide the world into us and them. Rather than seeing every person as a beloved child, we say, this is my tribe, and those people over there are different. And so we end up looking down on another group as less than us. And in fact, we base our whole sense of identity on, I'm not that. I'm better than that. And so the kingdom principle goes against our basic human nature. The second is that our relationships are merit-based, or what I call if-then. If you conform, if you're like me, then I accept you. If not, then I reject you. So it's a merit-based approach to relationships rather than a grace-based and forgiveness-based. And then the third characteristic where power is used to serve, it's in our human nature to use our power in self-serving ways. And we often use power over another person, against another person, for our own personal benefit at their expense. And that extends then into material wealth. The Gospel of Luke has more to say about material possessions than any of the other Gospels. And Luke shows in the teachings of Jesus that our inclination is to amass material possessions as a way of pursuing security, a sense of status and identity, as a sense of being able to indulge our desires. So the kingdom is at odds with our basic human nature. Requires then a change.
Yeah, and that leads me to this. This is why you wrote the book, right? Because of what you observed and the struggle that you saw with Christianity and people who, even people who would call themselves believers and would go to various churches, right?
Yes. We live in an era where Christianity is defined by belief, and that's an intellectual issue, believing a set of facts, as opposed to Christianity that's defined by following. Jesus said, follow me, which is, that was an invitation to learn from him and to live the things he learned. And so we end up having churches that live more out of our basic human nature and dress that human nature in religious garb than we have churches that are embodying the ways of the kingdom.
So does that create churches that are sort of stuck then because they're self-focused?
Absolutely. It creates churches that are made up of people like me and mine. And so it ends up creating closed groups that are not really open to those who are different, particularly those who are of a different socioeconomic group.
Boy, and it's interesting because now here we are in the middle of this pandemic. And what have you seen happen with the pandemic? And what do you hope could come out of the pandemic as far as relationships and human beings and those characteristics that you talk about, I think, feed into what's going on now?
Well, hopefully the pandemic will serve as a reset button for us as a culture, especially as a Christian culture, that we'll rethink what it means to see that we are all humans. The way we are alike, fundamentally alike, is greater than any of our differences, so that we'll learn to embrace one another as each beloved children of God.
Yeah.
So it's a great opportunity to move beyond our tribal thinking, me and mine mentality.
Yeah. Boy, and you certainly saw...
You certainly saw
a lot of that, right? You saw a lot of that when you were at the pulpit, basically.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's always going to be a pushback against the ways of the kingdom because they challenge us, and we will agree to them. Yeah, that's true, but there's always a but, and the but becomes our excuse for not having to do it. So we believe what Jesus taught, but we don't try to follow what Jesus taught. And that's because we can't do it in our own strength. It requires an internal transformation of heart and mind.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Internal transformation of heart and mind. And you got to work at this. You can't snap your fingers and you can't change what your bias is and what you don't even realize that you've got with your human nature, that struggle. Am I right, Steve?
Yes, it's a process of spiritual growth and spiritual transformation. And ironically, the key to that transformation is how I deal with the struggle. If I come up against someone that I cannot love, that I am repulsed by or offended by, my tendency is to simply say, I can't do that. And in doing so, we keep ourselves stuck in that position of not being able to do what Jesus said. But if we bring that to God, if we confess it, what the biblical term confess means is say, God, I can't do this, then we're basically giving God permission to help us do what we can't do in our own strength.
Boy, well said. After you wrote this, was it, and I don't want to say cathartic, but what did it feel like when you had all of this that you've worked toward, what you've seen, the human nature that you have observed? What was it like for you when you pulled all this together and wrote this book?
It was rewarding to actually get it in print and know that it is now available to a wider audience. The challenge is to getting it to the wider audience, because most Christians don't think in terms of the kingdom, and many churches never talk about the kingdom. Even though it was the central message that Jesus proclaimed, we have substituted other themes for the kingdom of God.
Yeah, and we started with this talking about it being at odds, as you just said there, and especially with the way the world is now, how quickly, even in a pandemic, things move and the anxiety, especially given what millennials have to deal with, don't you think?
Yes. And my sense is that the millennial generation, which is characterized by the nuns, those who have no religious preference, the millennials can embrace these truths because they are already moving against some of the social standards that they were raised with. So I think there is an openness to this concept. And I don't mean to be critical, sound critical of the church. It's just this has been my experience, that it's difficult for us to embrace these teachings of Christ.
Yeah, and as I said, you have a lifetime of watching and seeing it, so you are somebody steeped in this, and congratulations on pulling this together and, again, thinking of where we are and where the church is stuck and the future for the possibilities for so many of the younger people, but just anyone across the board would love this book. A God-Shaped World, Exploring Jesus' Teachings About the Kingdom of God and the Implications for the Church Today. Steve Langford, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate. It's been a good opportunity to be with you. Thank you for that gift.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity. In pursuing my dreams, I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.